Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matthew, how are you today?
Man, sound quality should be better.
Yeah, you got a mic.
I found a mic. My kids hit it.
Found a mic.
I found it. I kid you not, I found it at the bottom of their toy box. I'm like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing. Trying to grow up, be podcasters like your dad. I get it.
Speaking of podcasters, be sure to check out DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
The number one place to go for Dynasty-related podcasts, merch, and, of course, the amazing calculator. Matt, we have plenty of news to note, news and notes today. A lot of things happened, a lot of stuff. But before we get into it, we got to talk family stories. Hit me with a Renshaw family story.
Ready for this week's knock knock joke?
Yes.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Arthur.
Arthur who?
Arthur. Any more knock knock jokes, Daddy?
Oh my Gunderson's. Unbelievable.
She's got delivery skills, I tell you what.
Almost fell off my chair.
Then I taught them one. I taught them the boo-hoo one.
That's a good one.
I like that one. It's my go-to.
Go ahead. Let's do it.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Why are you crying? It's just a knock knock joke.
Oh my gosh.
Because I saw your record. That's why you're crying.
Oh, hey-o. Ah. Coming in hot.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your stance on negotiations, or are we saving that for later?
In a moment. I'd like to do my family story, if you don't mind.
Okay, let's
hear it. It's not all about the Renshaw family.
Well, you know. You got knock-knock jokes?
No knock-knock jokes here. Carly's still dancing, which is great. And Carson just had his first basketball practice. Also good. We signed him up for two different leagues.
One's King of Glenwood and...
Yeah. Well, one is the local YMCA, which is more of a rec kind of deal.
Yeah.
Right? You just got a bunch of kids just kind of looking to play and be a little active. And then we also signed them up for a local youth league that actually keeps score, have fouls, you know, that kind of fun stuff.
Is that the league last year where the coach was like super duper intense?
Hey, Red Sox. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do that again. So, but that one doesn't start off until like this season is like kind of wrapping up the YMCA season. So I'm like, I told him, I was like, man, this is perfect. Going to get you into game shape. You know, you're going to be ready this year. So he's kind of pumped up for that. That'll be fun. But yeah. So you and I were talking before we started recording. And you were like, we need to stop this right now. We need to just talk about it on the air. So we might as well get it out of the way.
Yeah. Let's hear about how petty you are.
Yeah. I'm absolutely petty.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a very petty person. My wife knows that. My family does. I just petty. I admit it. It's what makes me. As unfortunate as that sounds. So you came to me after the show last week and we were talking trade.
Yeah, you need a running back, and I have lots.
We're a couple dynasty leagues together. This particular one, you offered me something. We went back and forth, and I know one of the names we discussed was Todd Gurley.
That's the one.
That was one. And I remember specifically saying, you know what, this is a rebuild year for me. I've gotten rid of a lot of my aging talent. Made no sense for me. He doesn't really help. I'm kind of out on this altogether. Wasn't interested. I made that fairly clear. Correct?
No, I don't think it was. Otherwise, I wouldn't have continued to ask you about Todd Gurley.
See, there we go. Now that brings me to my next point. Then the week continues from we record on Wednesday nights. From Wednesday till Sunday, I get text messages from you about Todd Gurley, right?
No. So Sunday, let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
You were – high score of the league last week. You're on a two or three game winning streak.
I may have been the high score, but my team is historically bad.
You've made a move.
Don't sugarcoat it. I'm starting guys like Kerryon Johnson, who is absolutely on his way out of Detroit. I started JJ Taylor one week.
You need running backs.
Yeah, like I don't have anything really else. I started Travis Fulgham the very first week he had any starts.
You are stacked at wide receiver right now.
Travis Fulgham, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf.
And you have a quarterback that's hot right now. And you have like 17 tight ends.
I have literally 8 tight ends on a 26-man roster. That's not a joke. My team is not good enough to compete. You know that, but let's continue. Let's roll the story out. Okay, no one really cares.
Okay.
So you've messaged me a couple times about Todd Gurley. I like to think you could take a hint. I wasn't interested.
You should be interested.
Regardless. So Sunday rolls around. It's the first games I've kicked off. They're rolling. And I have a decent lead against my opponent.
Massive.
A decent lead, but what you failed to recognize was he had a ton of players left to play.
Yeah.
So you tell me when I say, yo, I'm not interested, I just lay it out there because I'm sick of hearing it. You go, well, what do you mean you're not interested? You're kicking this guy's ass.
You were.
Jinx the mother. You jinx my team.
I like that you
jinx
think-
my entire team right there because at that very moment, everything downhill.
I have jinxing power, apparently.
Everything went downhill for that team. Did it not?
I don't know. I stopped watching your scoreboard after you told me.
I bet you did. You jinx. You did your damage. Your damage
that
was
not,
done.
Not. Oh my goodness. Do people out there believe in jinx? Like that a league mate can jinx your team? Like the reverse jinx? Is that still a thing?
Just absolutely terrible.
So tell them what you're doing. Tell them what you have imposed.
So just for a little, just to show everybody, I end up losing by 50 points. One of the worst losses in this league.
But if you had Todd Gurley, you wouldn't have lost
right.
by 50.
Uh-huh, yeah. I end up scoring second lowest, regardless of how hot I had to start. I was the second lowest score for the week. Just got blown out because your dumbass had to say something.
It's my fault. It's not your player's fault. It's not your management skills. It's my fault that I said you're kicking his ass.
So somehow, some way, we talk trade again. You bring it up again, and I just tell you, I'm not trading with you. I refuse to trade with you now.
Guys, he put me in timeout.
I put you on probation.
I'm in trade timeout. He won't trade with me. I sent him an offer today.
You're laughing. I'm dead serious.
Justin, you just said your best player was DK Metcalf.
Matt, there are 10 other teams in this league. You could trade me. You could offer me the greatest trade of all time, the most one-sided trade of all time. I swear to God, I will hit the coin.
I kind of want to test it.
I swear I will. I put my kids on it. I will hit decline if you send me any trade. You can screenshot it. I don't care. Right. I will decline it.
I am that salty.
I won't do it. Now it's just on principle alone. You're one of the top teams. And so if you're making a trade, you think you're making your team better, and I refuse to help you. I hope you lose. I hope you end up losing in a terrible fashion. I hope you make second place. I hope you get to the championship game, and you lose on a final kick. That's what I hope happens.
All right.
I have zero desire to help your team in this league.
You know what, Justin? You probably just jinxed me.
I hope I did. I hope I did. I hope I did. I won't do it. I don't care how much better it makes my team.
I can't believe this.
I'm that salty. Off season starts. We can talk.
Okay.
We can talk. Until then, hope your team burns. Burns.
Oh, sounds good.
So as a reminder for everybody, the trade deadline for the league, the NFL, is November 3rd.
Which is
a lot of rumors.
And COVID has kind of impacted that too, because most guys you trade for, like Antonio Brown signed a week ago, but had to sit out and be in this protocol for COVID. So I know the deadline is like the 7th, but in reality, if you trade for him the 7th, you're not going to get him for another week. So you might not see – you may see earlier moves. The 3rd. Something else is that day too, isn't it?
Kind of a big day in America.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's a lot of news here. I really don't know where to start, but
Odell.
Might as well. No. Let's okay, fine. The Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. There's a lot of them. Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. said he's out for the season. OBJ tore his ACL Sunday against the Bengals. Beckham appeared to get a cleat a cleat caught in the turf as he chased down a defender after Baker Mayfield's first pass of the game was intercepted. He clutched his knee afterwards in obvious pain. Beckham's absence will open up playing time for Rashard Higgins, who led the Browns in receiving against the Bengals. OBJ ends his 2020 season with 23 catches on 43 targets, 319 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He had 3 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown as well. Beckham, who will only be 28 years old in November, yeah, is under contract with the Browns through the 2023 season. Now, NFL Network's Mike Garofalo reports that $12.97 million of OBJ's $15.75 million due in 2021 is guaranteed for injury and converts to a full guarantee if he's on the roster the third day of the league year. That nearly guarantees he'll be on the Browns roster unless he's traded. Matt, yes, I tell you all that to let you know that OBJ is currently valued at 12 and a half, according to DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That's roughly less, a little less than a late, excuse me, than a late 2021 first rounder.
Yep.
What side are you on that?
Give me Odell all day. If I'm a contender and I can stash him and throw him on IR, he's not going to clog up my roster, I'll take Odell. And I don't know if he'll – I mean, Baker Mayfield had a historic day after that interception. Like 22 Absolutely. For 23, looked better without Odell in the lineup. And some people have said he tries to force the ball to Odell. I'm excited for what the Browns can do now that Odell's hurt. But fantasy-wise, I'm trading for Odell. Him and Keenan Allen and Jarvis Landry seem like the league's oldest 28-year-olds. Like, everyone thinks they're older than they are. They mm-hmm. Odell's had a couple down years. I mean, Keenan Allen's clearly a wide receiver one. But it wouldn't shock me if they traded Odell.
I just feel like Odell is just kind of a head case, and I feel like Cleveland just isn't the right place for him. It doesn't matter. But he does have a couple of tags that kind of go with his name that I don't really think are fair. A lot of people say that he's injury prone at this point, and I don't really think that's the case.
Keenan Allen got that same tag.
OBJ has played a full season, both 2016 and 2019, which was just last year. And then he played 15 games in 2015. Played 12 games in both 2014 and 2018. That's not a fair tag. He's also received over 1,000 yards, or racked over 1,000 yards receiving in all but 2 seasons, this being one of them, and the other when he only played 4 games in 2017. So I don't know. Touchdown production has definitely dropped off. His yardage has dropped off since 2016.
Browns have been a run-first offense. Fired Freddie Kitchens. Didn't really know what he was doing as a head coach. There's been reasons for it. Right. I still believe.
No, I don't see how you can't. I think you're on the right side there. I would absolutely rather have Odell. And you know, you made a trade recently, you know, for Odell Beckham Jr. and essentially gave up just a first-round pick.
A 2022 first-round pick.
Right, which I think is absolutely a win. It's a luxury pick if you have a strong team. A first-round pick for a guy that talented?
Come on. And it's 2 years out. Like, the time value of that, I can get a first-round pick back in the next 2 years. I'll add a first-round pick somewhere.
I think so, too. The Patriots head coach Bill Belichick said Cam Newton is absolutely the team's starter. The clarification was necessary after Newton was yanked Sunday in a blowout loss to the Niners. Belichick said he put Jarrett Stidham in the game to get the young QB more experience. Super Cam was once again awful in Week 7, managing just 98 yards and throwing 3 interceptions. He has the Bills this week, Matthew. What are your thoughts on Cam Newton?
I'm dropping him in a couple super flex leagues.
Whoa.
Now
that's crazy.
Now let me back up. It's not a dynasty league. It's a redraft league. So
okay, well, this is the Dynasty Dads podcast brought to you by DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating. I understand. I'm just letting you know that's where I'm at with him. I'm dropping him in some redraft leagues. Dynasty value. It's a 1-year deal. You don't really know where he'll end up. There's a few good quarterbacks on their way in. Plus, everyone expects Jameis Winston to get a starting job next year. Like, would it be surprising if Cam was a backup next season?
No, not at all. I think everybody was kind of expecting Cam to be a backup this season.
The Chicago Bears sure haven't mentioned Cam Newton in a while. All those Bears fans that are like, oh, my gosh, we have Foles and Trubisky. We should add Cam. Last 3 weeks have kind of showed you why maybe Cam was a, why he was a free agent.
Since the whole COVID deal, I mean, this, it's only two games, and this is against Denver and this is against San Fran. He hasn't thrown a touchdown. He's thrown five interceptions in those two games combined. He's taken five sacks. He's rushed for one touchdown, so that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fumbled twice. I think some will look at those stats and be like, this is just a bad stretch. This is – he lost a lot of his mojo because he looked really good those first couple of weeks. Looked really, really good against Miami. Looked really good against Seattle.
Yeah.
Just, ugh.
I'd like to think he'd bounce back. I think the Patriots are 8-8 with Cam at quarterback. But is that – that's not good enough to win the East. The Bills look like they're going to run away with it. The Dolphins got – it's two a time in Miami. I don't think the Patriots win the East. I think this just – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Who's better off, Belichick without Brady or Brady without Belichick?
Well, Belichick without Brady.
You think he's better off?
Over time, he will be. He just needs to find a quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it.
Look what Belichick did with Matt Castle.
Yeah. Look, he had one good year. He had one good year. What are we talking about? He had one good year. Look what Matt Castle did after he left.
I think we need to give it a little bit more time before we judge either one of them.
I think Brady just added one of the best offensive weapons in the history of the NFL the last 10 years.
Take. Well, let's talk about
AB is a Hall of Fame wide receiver if he doesn't go crazy.
But he did.
Well, he did. And he might have cost himself a shot at the Hall of Fame, but if he comes back on the straight and narrow and wins a Super Bowl.
I want to see Chad Johnson in the Hall of Fame. That's who needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Chad Ochocinco.
He is.
Is he? Did he get the jacket?
Come on, man. I can't tell if you're messing with me or not.
Did he really? I'm dead serious.
Oh, my gosh.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Did they really do that?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's crazy. I thought I was, like, the only Chad Johnson fan.
That's why I thought you would know.
Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin fractured his index finger and is out for week 8 against the Giants. Apparently Godwin broke his left index finger making a touchdown grab last week against Vegas. Still feels weird to say. He had surgery to repair the fracture and will miss at least one game. Godwin has played in just 4 games for the Bucks this season. The team believes he has a shot to play in week 9, according to The Athletic's Greg Aumann, probably. When Godwin has been out of the lineup, Mike Evans has seen his opportunity spike, averaging 9 targets, 6.3 receptions, and 89 yards. So Godwin's out. Good thing for Mike Evans. You're going to start
Scotty Miller time.
I was going to say.
I can't do it. Every time I say Scotty Miller's going to have a big game, he has like one reception.
Right.
And then he falls back to the end of the line, and then he pops up eventually. I mean,
trust him.
And O.J. Howard's coming back. I don't know when, but I know he's coming back.
Does it matter?
Maybe. Like, maybe. Antonio Brown's going to join next week.
Are we starting Antonio Brown, like, that very week? Because I don't think he can.
You're not starting A.B.?
Oof. I want to see it first. We haven't seen it in a while.
The last time we played with Brady, he caught a touchdown.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, we must need to start him. You're right.
I mean, fortune favors the bold, Justin.
Right.
If you
That'll
had,
be something
like,
I'd talk about next week.
If you had no wide receivers, I mean, maybe you trade for Antonio Brown. Somebody owns him, and you can make a trade for a guy.
NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reports that Chris Carson is considered week to week. Carson is expected to miss quote-unquote some time with the 49ers, Bills, Rams, and Cardinals on deck in Seattle's next 4 games. Now, with Travis Homer also exiting early on Sunday night, Carlos Hyde unsurprisingly played 41 of 84 snaps, soaking up a team-high 18 backfield touches. However, it's being reported that Carlos Hyde is dealing with a hammy tightness and is, well, uncertain to play Week 8 against the 49ers. Now, that leaves rookie DJ Dallas as the only healthy running back on the roster. Rashad Penny is recovering from a knee injury and won't be available anytime soon. The Seahawks may be unable to bring in running back reinforcements in time to play the Niners thanks to COVID testing protocols for incoming players. Dallas could be the default workhorse back in Seattle in Week 8.
False. Chris Carson's coming back. Game time decision. The man is tougher than nails. He'll be back. He'll play.
Even if he is back and he's not 100%, you got to expect something out of DJ Dallas. Like, we're going to see DJ Dallas.
What happened to, I thought they were a pass for letting Russ cook. Let him cook. Get him his wide receivers. Throw the ball. Now we're worried about DJ Dallas coming in.
Who's worried about DJ Dallas? No one's worried about DJ Dallas. We're talking about an opportunity here.
Pump up. Yeah, he's got an opportunity. I don't expect
I am reporting the news, my friend. Yeah. I am not pumping up anybody. Yeah, if you want to see a pump-up job, I got a pump-up job coming for you when we talk about the Cowboy quarterback situation. Ben DiNucci all the way.
Get out.
So if you want a pump-up job, you give me about 10 minutes here, and I'll give you a pump-up job.
We started with knock-knock jokes.
I'll give you the best pump-up job you've ever had.
And now we're talking about Ben DiNucci getting pumped. Oh, my goodness. You didn't even know who Ben DiNucci was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm well known for my pump-up jobs, Matt.
Let's see it.
Oh, no, you test me, boy. I'll give you a pump-up job you won't ever forget.
DJ Dallas, yeah, he could have an opportunity. I'm not starting him anywhere. I'm not picking him up. It's not long-term.
Whatever. Right, he's one of those guys, if you need a running back for some reason this week, bye weeks or whatever, injuries, yeah, you might put him in as a what-the-heck flex, but nothing really more than that. You can't count on him.
Or you can wait to see who I talk about for Renegades and add them.
Right, and then just avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, because my running back last week.
49ers. The 49ers placed running back Jeff Wilson on injured reserve. Wilson played 56% of the snaps as the Niners lead back against the Patriots on Sunday, but was hurt late in the second half and will now be sidelined through Week 10 at the very least. Prior to exiting Sunday, Wilson ripped New England for 17 carries, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground, and he caught a pair of passes for 8 yards. Now, in his absence, the Niners will lean heavy on my boy, Jerick McKinnon, and Jamichael Hasty until Tevin Coleman is ready to return from his IR stint. Now, Matt, Jerick McKinnon, Jamichael Hasty.
How'd McKinnon do this week?
It's a whole different thing. It depends on who's there. The last time we've seen Jerick McKinnon have the show, have the floor, he did very well. Very well.
Yeah. And then Jeff last Wilson, week he didn't do anything.
Play my game. Jeff Wilson, Jerick McKinnon, Jamichael Hasty, I want you to rank them the rest of the season. And I think it's easy.
You think it's easy?
Very.
Yikes. Can I throw a wrench into your plan?
Sure.
I'd rather have Tevin Coleman than all four.
Oh, wow. What an idiot.
Well, that's, yeah, great.
That's a terrible take.
Dude, are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Coleman is the running back one when he comes back with those names.
So is Tevin Coleman somebody that people should be going out to get?
Abso-freaking-lutely. Wow. You can get him dirt cheap right now. Oh, we've talked about this. Whoever the lead back in San Francisco is a running back one. The problem is you never know.
When Jerick McKinnon has that role, you poo-poo him.
No, I don't. I'm not poo-pooing Jerick McKinnon. He had a couple weeks where he was good. You just never know. Like, I don't think Jerick McKinnon is going to be the guy this week. I think Hasty's going to be the guy this week. And then when Coleman comes back, I think Coleman's the guy. And then when Raheem Mostert comes back, I think Mostert's the guy. It's the New England backfield in San Francisco. It's just the other coast. And you never know who's going to pop, but you know one of them is going to pop off.
McKinnon's going to make you look silly.
Oh, yeah. Because McKinnon has been the ideal great running back.
No, you know it's a situational thing. McKinnon, when he has this role, is going to kill it.
Justin, he can't keep the role for 2 weeks in a row.
No shit, Matt. None of these guys have been able to. How many guys have we seen have great weeks with the Niners? Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Jerick McKinnon. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle. Life is like a circle, Matt. Okay? Just like the 49ers running back situation. It's like a circle. Broncos coach Vic Fangio said Philip Lindsay, probably, entered the league's protocol for a concussion. The head coach also said he's unsure if Lindsay will get cleared in time for Sunday. As of this recording, which is Wednesday, Lindsay has yet to practice. Now, Melvin Gordon handled 58 of 70 backfield touches in the three games that Lindsay missed earlier this year and will undoubtedly take on that bell cow role if Lindsay can't go. Now, Denver's injury reports will be worth monitoring throughout the week, though it's possible that Philip Lindsay's cleared last minute on Saturday. Matt, do you think we're going to see Philip Lindsay? Do you have a hunch one way or another?
I don't. What do the Broncos have to play for right now?
Nothing.
I mean, but we're not making Royce Freeman happen, right?
Like, no.
We've done this for 3 weeks now, and it's not going to happen.
I think that was kind of the reason why I put that story in there, because it's like, if you have some kind of idea that Royce Freeman's going to get more action, he might get a little bit more, but it's totally the Melvin Gordon show.
What has he done with his limited action this year?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Stay away from the guy.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a complete green light if you have Melvin Gordon, though. You don't have
Absolutely.
To worry about Phil Lindsay taking.
No, if Lindsay's out, Gordon's great. I mean, you don't have to worry about anybody stealing anything.
If Lindsay does get reported as active, does that affect where or what you do with Gordon?
No, I still start Gordon. Gordon's an every week start for me. I'm assuming he's your RB2, RB3. Probably more likely your RB3 than RB2. Yeah, he produces where he's at. That's where I would be.
The Chargers running back Joshua Kelly led the team's backfield in snaps against the Jaguars. Kelly played 38 snaps to Jackson's 31 in the Chargers' Week 7 win. The rookie rushed 12 times for 29 yards, while Jackson notched just 5 carries for 12 yards. Justin Jackson, who saw 6 targets against Jacksonville, remains the primary pass-catching back, with Austin Eckler remaining out. Do you have a feel on that?
There?
No, there's no question there.
I like Justin Jackson better. Josh Kelly is – I know, right? I know. But you know how – this has been 3 years of this podcast, Justin. I take running backs that catch the football. There was 3 points. He's in the pass-catching situation. Give me Justin Jackson. No one can see your face.
I'm just shocked to hear somebody else say they like Justin Jackson. Like, I haven't
like
heard
Justin
that in
Jackson
so long.
Better than Josh Kelly.
I know. I've been saying I like Justin Jackson for so long. You have no idea how it makes me feel to hear somebody else think they like him. It's great.
He's starting for me in Scott Fishbowl.
Oh, wow.
Last 3 weeks. 2 weeks.
Cardinals running back Chase Edmonds is expected to be the team's primary ball carrier with Kenyon Drake out. Let me say that again.
I hope Kenyon Drake enjoyed his time as the Cardinals starting running back, because he's not getting that job back.
Cardinals running back Chase freaking Edmonds is expected to be the team's primary ball carrier. Wow.
Yeah.
Edmonds last week tallied 58 yards on 5 carries and 87 yards on 7 catches in Arizona's overtime win against the Seahawks, notching 6.1 yards per carry on 29 rushes this season. Edmonds could be a borderline RB1, according to RotoWorld.com. Stop rotoring. Start guessing. I don't know.
Start worlding.
Yeah. He's going to have a full workload. Drake's going to be out. Edmonds should be the top waiver wire this week, I guess, right? I mean, kind of like
– no, show me leagues where Chase Edmonds is owned or is not owned and you're in a league full of morons.
Yeah,
Chase Edmonds should be owned in every single league.
Now, they have that rookie, Eno Benjamin, which hasn't done anything. I mean, maybe it's time to – I mean – I don't know, if your league is shallow enough, maybe you get him if you have the space, or if you have a spot in your taxi, you might see a little action, maybe.
He might. I am all aboard the Chase Edmonds. The reason I know that Chase Edmonds isn't owned in any leagues that you're in is because any league we're in together, I own Chase Edmonds. Doesn't matter the format. Dude is not – Kenyon Drake's not getting his job back. Kenyon Drake's a free agent at the end of the year.
You think that highly of Chase Edmonds?
Absolutely. He's a better fit for that offense than Kenyon Drake is.
That might be true, but he's just has that really big Chase Edmonds problem, and I just don't know if he's going to get past
that. That his name is Chase Edmonds?
Well, that he's Chase Edmonds. He has that.
Have you watched skill set any Cardinals games?
Yeah, of course I've watched them. I just don't see anything too special. I think it's more the offense, to be honest with you.
And he's perfect for it.
Yeah.
Five carries, 58 yards. Dude catches passes. And right. Yeah, he's from now on, Chase Edmonds is a running back one rest of season. Top 12 option, rest of season, Chase Edmonds.
Wow. Hope that works out for you, Matt.
Can I add a hot take mid-season?
Sure.
There you go.
Jimmy Graham caught 5 of 6 targets for 31 yards in the Bears' Week 7 loss to the Rams. Graham has seen at least 5 targets in all but one game this season and is freaking clearly a favorite of Nick Foles in the scoring area. Now, Graham faces his former team, the Saints, next. That is your current tight end 4, ladies and gents.
This shows you how ugly ugly the tight end position is.
2020.
Jimmy Graham was what? Tight end 25 when drafts were going on?
Man, just crazy.
People like Irv Smith Jr. were being drafted ahead of him.
I mean, you can't find a more consistent, for the most part, a more consistent tight end. Really?
On the season?
Yeah.
Probably not.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much.
That's I'm trying to think exactly. of your big ones, you know. Mark Andrews has probably been up there, but mm-hmm. Kelsey's had okay. He's had a couple downers. Kittle's missed got hurt, missed some time. Right. Ertz has missed some time. Dallas Goedert's missed some time. Yeah.
Lions running back DeAndre Swift led the team's backfield in snaps against the Falcons. Swift played 28 snaps. Adrian Peterson played 19 snaps. And your boy, Matt, Kerryon Johnson, who did not record a touch, was in for 14.
Now, if I had Kerryon Johnson, I definitely would not trade for Todd Gurley.
Swift rushed 9 times for 27 yards and a touchdown, adding 4 catches for 21 yards. The Lions have slowly but surely moved the rookie into the lead back role. Matt, are you ready for a dynasty name game?
Love it.
DeAndre Swift or James Robinson?
DeAndre Swift.
Did not see. Well, I could
really
see that coming. Yeah.
Robinson may not have a starting gig next year.
His numbers.
He may not. His numbers are great. I agree. Would it surprise you?
Yeah.
If Jacksonville moved on?
Yeah, because Jacksonville needs all the weapons they can get. They finally found one, fell in their lap. That would surprise me.
Undrafted, free agent. Give me Swift. Swift was of what? There was talk that Swift could be the RB1 of the class. No one knew who James Robinson – that's not true. Some people knew who James Robinson was, but he wasn't up there with the top 5 running backs.
You really screwed up my entire name game because the rest of these names are way bigger.
Okay. Way bigger than Robinson?
DeAndre Swift or Miles Sanders?
Swift.
Wow. I agree.
Okay.
DeAndre Swift or Ronald Jones?
Stop it. I'm a big Ronald Jones supporter, but I'm taking DeAndre Swift. Are you going Jones?
I'm just surprised to hear. This is a weird name game. You're surprising me with almost every answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Leonard Ingram. Fournette's starting to eat into Ronald Jones's.
DeAndre Swift or Mark Ingram?
Swift. Simple.
DeAndre Swift, Le'Veon Bell.
Swift.
Were you like all on Le'Veon Bell last week? Or was that me?
See, now you poo-pooed him and then wouldn't trade him in a couple
right.
of weeks.
That's right.
I think Le'Veon Bell is revenge game. Let's set the line at over under 85 yards and a touchdown for Le'Veon Bell against the Jets.
That's a really, really high line considering what we just saw.
Over under.
I would say the under because considering what we've seen.
Smash the over.
This one's DeAndre Swift or J.K. Dobbins.
Swift, sorry.
I'd be willing to bet you if we like did a Twitter poll that's more 50-50 than you think.
Swift and Dobbins?
Yeah. I think there's whenever I'm reading into Twitter or on Reddit or whatever, there's a lot of J.K. Dobbins lovers out there still. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
Rest of season or dynasty value?
Dynasty value.
Let's put a poll up.
Go ahead.
Let's go to the next topic while I do.
Well, it's time for the pump-up job. Cowboys quarterback Andy Dalton has entered the league's concussion protocol. Dalton's status for Sunday night's game against the Eagles would be uncertain until late in the week. As of now, he hasn't practiced. Again, this is being recorded on Wednesday evening, October 28th. That means rookie quarterback Ben DiNucci probably could get the nod for Dallas in a critical division game. Obviously, DiNucci isn't a household name, so let me bring you all up to speed.
Great, let's hear it.
Bro is a rookie, seventh-round draft pick.
Yep.
Played college ball at Pitt, but transferred to James Madison University. Go Bulldogs? No, probably not. After the 2017 season, and, well, he tore it up. DiNucci ranks fairly high for the university, tied third in completions, fourth in passing yards, fourth in passing touchdowns, sixth in pass attempts, and seventh in total offense in school history. Matt, over under 30 carries for Zeke this week.
That's your point. Oh, man. Zeke has – how about we do over under 1.5 fumbles for Zeke? Hold on to the freaking ball, Zeke.
He'll get that figured out.
Well, he doesn't have an offensive line in front of him either. I'll take the under on 30 carries.
I think it's an easy over. I think we see a lot of Tony Pollard, too. Was it Pollard?
Yeah, Pollard. Probably.
DiNucci, no.
You're going to throw a rookie out there to the Wolves.
Oh, it doesn't matter who they put out there. I mean, and can I, you know, your team has some pretty bad characters.
Oh, stop it.
Andy Dalton gets his head taken off by John Bosick on a terrible, dirty hit.
And nobody
does anything to back him up. The Red Rocket's there trying to lead your team to victory.
Amari Cooper watched it and just looked at him. Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Yeah, huh. Amari Cooper doing his best Dez Bryant impersonation.
Dez Bryant would have went and knocked that guy out. No, stop it. Maybe. You cannot sully the good name of Dez Bryant. Speaking of Dez Bryant.
Signed with the Ravens practice.
Come on, I was like, I put it on a tee for you.
At long last, Dez Bryant is with the Ravens after working out for the team in August. Bryant has been out of the league since tearing his Achilles tendon with the Saints last year.
Okay, can I stop you?
That's my entire story.
When I heard I heard that, you know, Bryant's been out of the league since he tore his Achilles, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was like 2 years ago. Oh. No, it was the Saints last year, 20. The
Saints either.
He didn't do anything with the Saints. It was his first practice with the Saints. He tore his Achilles.
That's right. That's right. It was really early.
But it feels like it's been forever ago. COVID really screwed everything up, timeline-wise.
I mean, if you have the space, I guess you get Dez Bryant. There was some video floating around today of him practicing. He looked really, really, really good. But it's still practice.
He's still playing on the Ravens.
It's the Ravens. It's hard to be a wide receiver on that Ravens offense right now and be
like fantasy historically. Relevant. Historically, it's hard to be a wide receiver on the Ravens.
It is. If you have a deep enough roster and you have the space, I guess. But you got to really temper those expectations, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm not You're expecting with me there? Much. Yeah, okay. I'm not expecting much. He's there to mentor. He may catch a ball or two, but I don't expect, like, wide receiver three or better numbers, no.
No. Wide receiver three would be a hell of a year for Dez Bryant. A hell of a year.
Rest of season, from his first game to his last game. I mean, they've got other pass-catching options there.
Well, he's still practice squad. Like, he's not playing Sundays.
He's coming. He didn't sign another practice squad to stay on their practice squad.
Eagles wide receiver Jalen Reagor was activated from injured reserve. In September, Reagor was given a 6 to 8 week timetable after he had surgery to repair a torn UCL in his thumb. Matt, where is the UCL in your thumb?
Show right me. Here. It's right here.
Okay. See? I'll believe it.
Right there. Yep.
That's perfect for all of our audio listeners.
That's right.
He could still be held out through the team's week 9 bye week. The emergence of Travis Fulgham could complicate matters for Reagor upon his return. Now, despite missing the first 3 games of the season, Fulgham Smash is currently the wide receiver 35 in all the fantasy. Matt, are you ready to play Who to Realist?
Let's do Who to Realist. I love Who to Realist.
Travis Fulgham remaining fantasy relevant or Rashard Higgins leading the Browns in receiving yards? That's a good one, isn't it?
That's a really good one. Did you read Renegades?
No.
Oh, no. Man. Fogle being fantasy relevant or?
Rashard Higgins leading the Browns in receiving yards.
Okay, what is fantasy relevant? You got to put.
You know what it means.
Wide receiver three?
Wide receiver three or more, yeah.
Oh, man.
Startable.
I'll go with Fulgham, but I really, really like Higgins.
And I really, really like Fulgham Smash.
I think I'll save it for Renegades. Higgins is my Renegade. I'll explain.
Brandon Cook's three-game streak of 9 targets per game or Nelson Aguilar's three-game streak of double-digit performances.
I'll give me Cooks.
I love Brandon Cooks rest of
the way. There's talk that they're going to trade Fuller or Randall Cobb, and there's going to be an opportunity for Cooks.
Brandon Cooks the rest of the way is such a great play. If you can get Brandon Cooks for the right price.
He's dirt cheap.
And one more for you. Julian Edelman's less than 3 receptions per game or Leonard Fournette's. Leonard Fournette's. Leonard Fournette leading the Bucks backfield in snaps. So you got Julian Edelman's less than 3 receptions per game or Big Len. I don't know why I keep trying to make it plural. Big Len leading the Bucks backfield in snaps.
Leonard Fournette leading the backfield in snaps is more likely to happen. Edelman's going to get his receptions.
Edelman has looked like trash.
Edelman hasn't looked like trash. Cam has looked like trash.
I don't know, man. Edelman doesn't look like Edelman anymore either.
What if they trade him to Tampa? I bet he pops up. Mm-hmm. Get the band back together. No, I actually like Edelman. I thought he owns the target share in New England. It's such a huge number for a wide receiver to have a target share on an offensive team. I think Edelman will be fine. Fournette is starting to eat into. I mean, we saw it last week. Ronald Jones is still the goal line back, but he doesn't catch passes. Can't catch very well. Fournette can. I think Fournette's going to eat into that ownership time there.
If you're a Rojo governor, are you trading him away?
Depends on what you can get. Maybe. You offer me a first, I'll trade Rojo.
I was going to say, late first is probably what it takes, though.
Absolutely.
Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said he plans to make changes coming out of the team's Week 8 bye. I'm going to look at some things. I want to go a little outside the box, end quote.
LaVisca Chenault.
ESPN's Michael DiRocco probably believes benching Gardner Minshew certainly could be on the table. The Jaguars are winless in 6 straight games and just are desperate for a spark. Now, they do have that 6-round quarterback, Jake Luton, or Laton, Louis Vuitton, doesn't matter, probably. He threw for over 2,700 yards with a 28-3 touchdown interception ratio at Oregon State last year. Could potentially take over for Minshew after Jacksonville's bye, according to this
Mike beat Glennon. Writer.
What about Mike Glennon?
Long neck Glennon.
I think the only one that would like to see Mike Glennon start at quarterback again would probably be Mike Glennon's mother.
Maybe. Or the defense.
Mrs. Glennon knows what's up.
Why would you bench Gardner Minshew?
I'm not saying they should.
That's Doug Marrone, stop it.
Doug Marrone might not even have meant that at all. That's just one dude's interpretation of that quote. But
come on, DiRocco.
We got to report it. Now, Mark Ingram is not practicing Wednesday. Ingram is dealing with a sprained ankle and had the bye week to rest up, but he still doesn't seem ready to play.
He's not playing
against the Steelers.
Not now, playing.
If Ingram sits, you got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. They should form somewhat of a committee. You can't put it past the Ravens to, for fuck's sakes, put Justice Hill somewhere in there as well. I don't know
what to do. Get on the bus, Justin.
Gus Bus.
On the bus.
Gus Bus, J.K. Dobbins, you got to start one. Gun to your head.
This week, rest of season?
Against the Steelers, the undefeated Steelers.
Dobbins.
I don't think you're wrong. Who has the highest floor, though?
Who's the safer play?
Yeah.
I think Dobbins is the safer. You don't think Dobbins? I think Dobbins is the safer play.
I think it's a slam dunk. It's Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards is going to get the carries, but J.K. Dobbins has such big play, like, ability that I don't blame you, but I think the safest option, if you need safe, it's absolutely Gus Edwards.
You know how many MFL leagues that Gus Edwards is owned? What percentage?
It has to be low.
It's less than 50.
I see where you're going.
Yeah.
He's just not a sexy option.
No. No one named Gus has ever been sexy.
Well.
Gus Frerotte.
I tell you. Absolutely nothing.
Come on, Tyler Lockett, we got a few more. Let's go.
Tyler Lockett caught 15 of 20 targets for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in Week 7 against the Cardinals. Lockett took advantage of DK Metcalf drawing Patrick Peterson coverage. He mostly avoided Peterson, but scored one of his touchdowns on him on a perfect deep pass from Russell Wilson. Now, the touchdowns were Lockett's first since Week 3, so he definitely played catch-up. It's a needed breakout after Lockett was held under 50 yards the last two games. The Seahawks were forced to go pass heavy with Chris Carson leaving in the second quarter.
Oh, but DJ Dallas is going to have an opportunity.
Nothing about that was untrue. He's going to have opportunity.
Yeah, but he's not going to do it. Like, they're going to pass more.
He's a rookie with a cool name.
And he's from Miami.
Go DJ. Yo, that's my DJ. Go DJ. Yeah, that's my DJ.
Oh, my gosh.
Lil Wayne, nothing? Louisiana?
Oh, that's who it was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Stop it.
I thought it was DJ Khaled or something.
Stop it. 15 targets, though.
DJ. Yeah, 15. Well, yeah.
20 targets. Excuse me. 15 catches.
Receptions, 200 yards, crazy. 3 touchdowns.
Tyler Lockett's legit. Say something nice about Tyler Lockett. I want to hear you say something nice about Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett's the best receiver in Seattle.
Not get the.
Hey, you wanted something nice. There it is.
If I didn't need somebody else like to say stupid things on the show, I would kick you off right now. That's a terrible take.
Tyler Lockett's been doing it much longer than DK Metcalf. I mean, look at DK Metcalf's 3-cone. Come on.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm being facetious.
Larry Fitzgerald caught 6 of 8 targets for 62 yards in Week 7 against Seattle. Fitzgerald joined Jerry Rice as the only two receivers with 1,400 career receptions.
That's a lot.
This was his best game of the season, though he needed overtime to get it. Fitzgerald has still yet to score a touchdown through 7 weeks.
Have you done anything 1,400 times in your life?
Well, I'm about to do 1,401. I'll tell you that much.
You pump people up, Justin.
Yeah, your mother's over here now. Oh, now, Rob Gronkowski caught 5 of 8 targets for 62 yards and a touchdown in Tampa Bay's Week 7 win over the Raiders.
Hey, Mom.
This was Gronk's. She made cookies. This was Gronk's second touchdown in as many games as he and Tom Brady have tied Steve Young and Jerry Rice with 92 mm-hmm. touchdowns with each other to become the second most productive duo in NFL history.
Are we number one, you and I?
Yes. Gronk's touchdown catch in the corner of the end zone was a vintage moment, seeing him simply out-jump defensive back Nevin Lawson and pluck the ball from the air before finishing with that celebratory spike. He's now seen 6 targets in 4 of his last 5 games and 8 in back-to-back showings. Rob Gronkowski started a little slow rest of the way. Gotta start him, right?
Absolutely. Now, did you see the Gronkowski quote about his connection with Brady on the back shoulder fade?
No.
Here it is, quote. I can't do my Gronk voice, so I'm just going to read it.
Right.
Like my mom always says, it must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
You know,
because it's
I understand every single word of that.
Someone asked if he had early onset CTE.
How rude.
I don't know. It's Twitter for you. It's a place full of rude people. Hey, Matt Kelly.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Matt. Renegade time. Here we go.
Renegade. amazing. So last week, let's recap. We'll do this one real quick. DeMarcus Robinson, one catch, 4 yards. But the big one, Mr. P. Ryan, probably.
Probably.
Tore it up in New York. 70% of the Jets' offensive snaps by the rookie. 11 carries, 39 yards, and a touchdown to go with 2 receptions for 17 yards. I'm calling that one a win. This week, back with a couple more. Both of these men have been mentioned on the show so far. Gus Bus, currently owned in 44% of MFL leagues. I like to live dangerously. This is assuming Mark Ingram's out. Baltimore runs the ball, a league-leading 52% of the time. And they haven't used Dobbins much. This is going to be a split backfield. Gus Bus is going to get his, put some points up. He's worth a gamble if you're desperate and you need an option at running back. He's, 44% of leagues. So there's a better than 50% shot that he's available in your league. You can pick him up. We've kind of talked about it. Safe floor. He's going to get some. He'll be okay. This is my big one. This is Rashard Higgins, owned in 20% of MFL leagues. This man turned 11 targets into 10 receptions, 154 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Last year, Higgins had a little breakout before Freddie Kitchens threw him in the doghouse for some reason. Here's my bold claim. Higgins is Cleveland's wide receiver one rest of season. Wide receiver one. Over Jarvis, over anybody else that pops up, Higgins is the guy.
I've seen some people saying that now is the time to go get Antonio Callaway. And I just want to say, just really quickly, that's a really good call if Antonio Callaway knew how to catch a ball. But I think that's really going to hold him back, is his inability to catch a ball. Please continue.
Antonio Callaway was one of the most athletic prospects coming out, but his off-the-field troubles kind of caught up with him. And then he was right in Cleveland for a year and had a drug test pop up wrong. Like, give me Higgins. I'll take Higgins all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a big Jarvis Landry fan, I don't disagree with you, like, whatsoever. I think Rashard Higgins is probably going to do really, really well.
Dude needed an opportunity, and it came knocking on Odell's knee.
Oh, man.
Higgins, yeah. I would not be shocked. I mean, you saw the connection that Baker and he had. Baker looked like a different quarterback when he didn't have to feel like he had to force Odell the ball. Like, give me Higgins all day.
Right. Now, Jarvis Landry is going to have opportunities, though, like a lot more of them.
We didn't even talk about tight end breakout game for the Cleveland Browns. Ryan.
No. I already had.
You had 2 touchdowns.
Matt, if we went over like every huge performance, it would be a really long show. We got 45 minutes to fill. I had already talked about 2 much bigger names in the tight end category. What do you want from me?
Harrison Bryant caught 4 or 5 targets for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's all. Rookie tight ends don't do much, and Bryant popped out.
He had 1 good game.
Hooper's out. Njoku's out. Bryant, guy to own. Should have made him a renegade. Maybe next week.
Do you listen to other podcasts?
Yeah,
of course. That are not fantasy football related?
I listen to audiobooks. Does that count?
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm an audiobook guy. Really into right now I'm listening to a John Grisham book. And I'm reading a series called Orphan X. It's kind of like a who's that Matt Damon government character? It's like a weapon. The Bourne. It's like a Bourne series.
Oh, like Orphan the Bourne X. Identity?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
So that's what I'm reading and listening to. So I don't do. I mean, I've listened to like some true crime podcasts and stuff like that, but I like audiobooks. I don't listen to the radio much.
Curious.
Yeah, you? No? I mean, I know you're a rap guy.
Well, I'm a rap guy, but I don't listen to podcasts about rap music.
No, but you listen to rap. Like, I don't listen to music much. I listen to, like, if I'm in the car, I'm listening to an audiobook or something.
See, the only time I can really get into, like, podcasts or audiobooks is, like, if it's a long drive. Like, then I can do it. Like, because I got time to actually sit down and, like, listen. But, like, if I'm just driving around, oh, dude, music. 100%. Yeah.
Is there a reason that you asked if I listen to podcasts, Justin?
Just curious. I listened to, I don't listen to it, but I saw a clip on YouTube of the latest Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, I saw this. It was a big uproar. Yeah.
Well, he had that crazy Alex Jones on there.
Right.
I listened to about 20 minutes of it, and I was like, oh boy, that Alex Jones guy. What a psycho. Just crazy.
He's said some crazy stuff. I don't listen to it. I just saw the headlines, but
see, we should actually just start saying crazy things. Like Andy Dalton's going to be a number one, you know,
number one quarterback. You should trade a first for him.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Somebody might have said that.
I swear to God.
And nobody did anything. The Cowboys, would it shock you if the Cowboys finished 2-14? Don't win another game this year.
Yeah, there's just too many big players. It does seem like they've given up, though. It seems like those guys gave up. Like, when Dak went down, done.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Done. Well, that's enough. That's enough football for now. That's enough time with the Dynasty Dads. Time for Betty Bop.
It was a good night. Good show.
Yeah, it was a good show, man. I appreciate you taking the time to be here with us.
Yeah.
Drop some knowledge bombs on these listeners.
I'm probably going to send a couple trades as soon as we get off.
You can send them all day you want. I'm just going to decline every single one of
them. Hey, let's just recap for those of you that are listening. Right now the poll is 70-30 DeAndre Swift over J.K. Dobbins. So not as close as you thought it would be.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
Probably.
Don't get me wrong. DeAndre Swift is absolutely the right answer. It seems like there's like this weird congregation of J.K. Dobbins truthers out there, and it just feels weird. He's a big play dude. That's all he's ever going to be. He's never going to be a 30 carry kind of guy. And that's saying a lot considering that offense. I wish Mark Ingram was 5 years younger.
I think everyone wishes they were 5 years younger.
Do four-year-olds wish they were 5 years younger? I would imagine they don't. This is going in weird places.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we're gonna wrap this up. And
happy Halloween, everybody. Enjoy your Halloween. Enjoy your football. And, yeah, that should do it. And when we talk next week, it'll actually be post-election, right?
It'll be the day after.
Yeah.
Will they have results? Probably not.
No, we won't have results, but we'll have plenty to talk about, I'm sure. A lot of crazy stuff happening. So you'll be wanting to check that out. Be sure to find us on Twitter. We are at Dynasty Dads. That's where you can find Matt's viral videos with over 200,000 views, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Last we checked.
20,000. Yeah. He added an extra zero.
Yeah, dyslexia. Also, be sure to check out DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And all of the other podcasts that are under that umbrella. And we will check y'all next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes. Dynasty Dads gear, and more.